This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa natawakkalu alayhi. Min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth based upon certain sunan or divine that govern the way in which existence happens. Gravitational pull is an example of one of these sunan, these laws of Allah Almighty in creation. If gravitational pull was irregular in any way, life would not be, or the earth would not be habitable. The same can be said about the boiling point and the freezing points of water. If these things were not fixed and regular and consistent, then again, life would be impossible. These sunan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are fixed much like a mathematical equation. You put in 1 + 1, you will get 2, only if Allah Almighty, of course, decrees otherwise. And that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. He said that it is not permitted for the sun to... Nor is it that the night would ever outstrip the day, and each one of them is in a fixed orbit. Allahu Akbar. Laws that are fixed, universal ones. And they are regular. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will never find in the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any change whatsoever. Take note of the second point. These universal sunan, laws of Allah, are not limited to the ones that govern creation and nature alone. Rather, they even extend to those matters in how Allah ta'ala deals with us, deals with His creation, deals with mankind, how He interacts with us. It extends to that as well. There are laws that determine this. And guess what? They are also regular. They are fixed. They are consistent. And therefore, brothers and sisters, if we want to get an understanding as for how the sunan of Allah Almighty, the nature of the relationship between us, Allah, and Allah, and what to expect when we do certain things, we have to read the Quran and Sunnah and to understand these things. Of some of these sunan, some of these divine laws of Allah Almighty that are, as we said, fixed and regular. No surprises. One of those laws states that whoever has iman, faith, and they work good deeds consistently, experience hayatun tayyibah, a good life, a pleasant life. That is a law. Another one of those sunan, those fixed, regular, consistent laws of Allah Almighty states that the punishment for oppression has to appear in the life of this world before the hereafter. That's a sunnah, a law. A third example of sunan, just for us to understand what is meant, is al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin. The eventual outcome will be in favor of the righteous people. The eventual outcome will be the pleasure of Allah and paradise. Allahu Akbar. That's a sunnah, a law that is fixed and gives so much solace and peace to the believer. And here is another example of a sunnah, a law that is universal, that is fixed. It is the one that states that whenever sins prevail, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will send messages of warning to humanity by releasing different types of calamities upon them. COVID-19 is a pandemic that is tearing through the human population at an alarming rate. And even the most powerful of human beings, countries, presidents of countries, and prime ministers, kings, they're just watching on in despair. Listen to what some of them are saying. Donald Trump has declared a national emergency and has recently unveiled a $2 trillion emergency rescue package for the people of the states. The president of China himself, President Xi, has described the COVID-19 virus as being a devil. That is the country's apparently most serious public health crisis they have gone through. French President Emmanuel Macron has said that the coronavirus is an epidemic that was France's worst health crisis in a century. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has said that 70% of the country's population are expected to contract the virus, some 58 million people. And whilst our very own Boris Johnson has said that many more people should expect to lose a loved one before their time. So COVID-19 has, without doubt, covered the world, covered the headlines, covered the priorities and thoughts and even the dreams of humanity. But at the same token, and to be fair, the virus has also uncovered many things that had been obscure in the lives of many people for all too long. And this is what I would like to share with you in this reminder. Four things which Corona has uncovered in our lives. The first of them, it has uncovered the helplessness of man and the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it is common knowledge now that China staged its largest ever National Day military parade in Beijing, putting some of its most advanced and powerful military display on show and to mark the 70th anniversary of the Communist Party. And during that, there was a speech by President Xi himself who said, commemorating the anniversary, that there is absolutely nothing that could shake the foundations of this great nation. He said, no force could do that. Yet only a few weeks after that statement, what happened? Allah Almighty sent a force, an invisible force, a silent force, one of the weakest of creation. And it shook the foundations of China and shook the foundations of every single country on planet Earth. La ilaha illallah. Wherever you turn now, you can't help but see it in the eyes of people. You hear it in their conversations, sense it in their body language, see it in their buying patterns. You see terror that is compounded by ignorance from what is a tiny and invisible and completely silent soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, dear brother, dear sister, this is the time to release your gaze into the heavens and look at awe and wonder at the one who created this universe as you confess and you say once and for all, how supreme you are, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when your heart has filled with veneration and awe and you feel like you are now ready to prostrate to him, lower your gaze again back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you recite ayat from the Quran with a brand new appreciation of their meaning. Like when Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, Subhanallah, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. Whenever Allah Almighty wills evil for a people, there can be no turning back of it. And they will have no protector besides Allah. Then the ayat from the Quran, they continue. Listen to their power. هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. It is He who shows you the lightning, causing hope and fear. وَيُنْشِئُ السَّحَابَ الثِّقَالًا. He is the generator of the heavy clouds. وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ. And the thunder glorifies the praise of Allah. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. And so do the angels out of fear of Him. وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَاعِقُ. And He sends thunderbolts. فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Striking with those thunderbolts whomever He wills. وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. Yet they dispute about Allah. وَهُوَ الشَّدِيدُ الْمِحَانِ. Whilst He is mighty in power. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Even if a vaccine is found, the virus has already achieved its goal. The arrogant have been humiliated. The sinners have been pulled to their knees. Humanity has been defeated. And as time progresses, man is slowly and bit by bit realizing that power and might and supremacy belongs to Allah Jalla Jalalu. This is the first thing that the virus has revealed and uncovered. The helplessness, the feebleness of man, and the might and the supremacy of Allah Jalla Jalalu. The second thing it has uncovered is potentially the status of humanity in the eyes of Allah. See, brothers and sisters, when Allah Almighty, the most merciful, the most forbearing, the most patient, the most kind, al-latif, the most gentle, a Lord who has these characteristics of mercy and patience, yet despite them, unleashes a soldier of His so devastating and so harmful and so encompassing as this, forces us, brothers and sisters, to really reassess and think, what type of status, how deplorable must humanity be in the eyes of Allah Almighty, the most merciful, to deserve this at this moment in time? What must our status be, therefore, in the eyes of Allah Jalla Jalalu? And that is why in the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which At-Tabarani narrates in his Mu'jam, on the authority of the companion Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَى فِي قَرْيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. Whenever fornication and interest become prevalent within a city, then they would have brought the punishment of Allah upon themselves. Allahu Akbar. A world like ours today that is already plagued by so many diseases at every single level, can only expect more disease. Look at it at the macro level. Thousands of Syrians abandoned, displaced, as the world looks on with monstrous hypocrisy. Tens of thousands now stranded without homes, without clothes, without food, without shelter, dying from the freezing cold conditions as we speak. We think that this was going to continue without any groundbreaking events. What about the 14 million now in Yemen who are at risk of starvation, brothers and sisters, and repeated outbreaks of deadly diseases like cholera? Maybe we will appreciate this now a little bit more. What about the 1 million Muslims from the Uyghur ethnicity in China who have been detained by their regime, who are being tortured and oppressed and suffocated from practicing their religion as we speak at this moment in time? What about them? What about the scholars of Islam who are left to rot in the dungeons of so-called Muslim countries? What about them? What about usury interest that has engulfed the global economic system and there is no escaping it? What about that? As the world just continues plodding along as if nothing is going to change or happen. And then that's the macro level. Look then at the micro level, my level and yours. Subhanallah, extramarital relationships that have seemingly become the norm in the lives of so many young men and women. Business ventures that only ever seem to work if there is interest involved or smoke involved, lounges of haram, alcohol, interest. What about the true identity of the Muslims that is being eroded generation after generation? What is going to be left from us in a few years from now? When you look at, subhanAllah, sins and how they have reached a level of access and creativity and innovation like no other generation before. Brothers and sisters, by Allah, how naive must we be to assume that matters were just going to continue as per normal without any life-changing and sense-awakening events? No, no. Sins, oppression, moral decay will bring retribution, even if man needs to learn the hard way. I mean, brothers and sisters, Ramadan is just now weeks away. We're in Sha'ban, less than 4 weeks. And despite it being a time of mercy and rahmah and barakah and hope and forgiveness, what has happened during this time? The doors of mosques have been bolted shut. As if Allah Almighty is saying to humanity, I don't want you anywhere near my homes. My houses where I am praised and glorified, out. As if we are being kicked out. Leave. You are not welcome here. Even if it is the masjid of my prophet in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even if it is the greatest of them all, Al-Haram, in Mecca. Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Out. Till you Muslims find your senses, till we find our goal in life, we discover our objective, we discover our hereafter, we come to our senses. And now you're left, and I am left thinking, did we shut the doors of the mosque, or did they shut us? Let us cry, brothers and sisters, really, over those beautiful days of the past. When we'd abandoned the mosques when the doors were still open. And now we miss out for however long Allah Almighty decrees the tranquility of bowing and prostrating in His house and the companionship of angels and the many sin-erasing opportunities that came with being in that masjid. That we walked past so many times, I didn't think about parking the bike or the car to go and spend some time there and ask Allah to forgive our sins and recite some Quran. The fact that the doors of the masajid have been closed shut for me is one of the most serious things of our times today. One of the scariest messages from a Lord who is angry, a Lord who is upset at the global level of senselessness and play by Muslims and non-Muslims alike, as if we are being told by Allah, I've never been in need of your worship. I've never wanted you. I've never needed you. I gave you opportunities. You took it back. Let me show you what happens when you insist upon this in a sense of play. What must our status be in the eyes of Allah, brothers and sisters? This is the second thing Corona has uncovered, potentially. Our status in the eyes of Allah as a humanity at large. The third thing that the coronavirus pandemic has uncovered is the double standards of man. The world, subhanAllah, is taking severe precautionary measures to limit the spread of the virus. Large gatherings are avoided. Hand sanitizers now are like on the list of endangered species. We're not allowed to be in congregations. Most of us are now actually isolating anyway. And we're standing 2 meters away from the checkout when buying stuff. Tougher measures are expected sooner as well. All of this is to what? Protect ourselves from potentially being infected by the virus. What is interesting is that humanity, you and I, we are strictly conforming to the principle that says never gamble with your health. Never take a risk. Prevention is better than cure, right? Now, I can't help but remember here the Islamic maxim, saddu al-dara'i, saddu al-dara'i, meaning what? To the idea of closing those means, even if they are halal, that could potentially lead to something harmful or haram. This is saddu al-dara'i, to close the means or a door of something, even if it is halal, but because you fear it may lead to harm or something impermissible, you stay away from it. That's an Islamic maxim, which Imam al-Shatibi spoke about it before him, Imam Malik, Imam ibn Qayyim, he calls this principle one quarter of the religion. What is amazing, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. is the extent to which humanity has gone out of their way to apply this principle to preserve their worldly interests. As we willingly and lovingly surrender many of our freedoms to protect our dunya, to protect our souls. But astonishingly, applying a completely different standard when it comes to religious matters. How is it, like, how is it that we have accepted every single medical recommendation pertaining to the COVID-19 situation with open arms and open hearts, but at the same token not showing nowhere near the same level of enthusiasm when it comes to the Islamic affairs? Like, why does that not seem as urgent? How is it that some of us need years upon years of convincing and lectures and YouTube reminders and Friday sermons and halaqat to then be moved into repentance and noticeable change in appearance and finance and behavior and salah? Why does it take us years to do that? But when it came to protecting our souls, we accepted every recommendation there and then. And I'm not blaming us for doing this. I am taking these precautionary measures myself. Me and my family are doing that. But I'm just saying, why don't we show the same enthusiasm for the religion? I mean, what is the worst thing that could happen, God forbid, if you and I were to contract this virus? God forbid. It could devastate our livelihoods. It may affect our lungs. We may die. But what is the worst that could happen, God forbid, if we were to contract a different virus, the virus of iman neglect, procrastination? What would happen if we were to neglect, if we were to contract that virus where our iman goes weak and we begin to abuse our salah and the hijab is no longer of interest and Allah Almighty, we are in doubt? What happens if we were to contract that virus? Potentially a home in hell. And there, dear brothers and sisters, as the people of Jahannam, they burn away, God forbid. As the inhabitants of hell are deprived from the pleasures of paradise and deprived from the greatest of all rewards, and that is seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there in Jahannam the people of hell will realize how small the prospect of death was within the grand scheme of things now that they have seen hell and they are tasting eternity, particularly when they see hell being slaughtered in the form of a black and white speckled ram at the gates between paradise and hell. Death is nothing in comparison to eternity, the eternity which awaits you and I. I ask, my dear brother, I ask, my dear sister, what sin out there deserves that you spend a single night in the hellfire, let alone weeks or months or even years? What I am trying to say to you, my beloved, is that this principle of saddu dhara'i', closing the doors that may lead to harm or something impermissible, we must uphold it primarily in the religious matters. The same way we have taken precautionary measures to preserve our dunya, do the same for your religion. Think about your finance, your dress code, your relationships, any other decision that needs to be made now. The same way we have rearranged our entire lives in the fear of meeting corona, we should also rearrange our entire lives with greater enthusiasm and shyness of Allah, arrange the life in fear of meeting our sins one day. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. Allah said, on that day of judgment, man will find the good deeds that he did right there prepared in front of him. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. And they will also see their sins that they have put forward. And that day, Allah says, you would wish that there was a huge distance between you and your sins. La ilaha illallah. So this is the third thing that the COVID-19 situation has uncovered. The double standards of a lot of us, brothers and sisters. The fourth and final thing COVID-19 has uncovered is, alhamdulillah, the way forward for nations and for individuals alike. The way we just assessed the situation is not for the purpose of lowering morale. I know it may have come across like that. It's not for the purpose of adding to our misery or causing a state of alarm. No, no. But see, the same way that COVID-19 cannot be properly dealt with from a medical perspective till it is first fully understood, similarly, we are to understand first the divine messages behind this ordeal so that we can carve a way forward. We have to assist the situation in a blunt way without burying our heads in the sand. Please don't see this as demotivating. It's the complete opposite. And this is heading number 4. It has uncovered for us the way forward. With this, I ask the question, what is the most dangerous thing which one could possibly do during these plagued times of ours today? Is it, for example, to be on the receiving end of somebody's sneeze? Is it, for example, to shake hands and not wash hands? Is it perhaps to not pile your food at home sufficiently? Is it perhaps to be in the middle of a congested, busy crowd? What is the most dangerous thing that you and I could be doing during these times? It is none of those things that I just mentioned. The single most dangerous thing which you and I could be doing during this time is to continue as usual with respect to sins. And these were the words of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, إِنَّ الْهَلَكَةَ كُلَّ الْهَلَكَةَ أَن تَعْمَلَ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ فِي زَمَنِ الْبَلَاءِ. He said that the truest meaning of devastation and ruins for a person is when he continues to commit sins during times of calamities. Is when he insists upon continuing his ways during times of calamities. La ilaha illallah. So despite what he is seeing, he's not changing. A calamity is there, which is the indicator of death. But his sins, his habits, his laziness, they have not changed. What is that the sign of? Allahu Akbar. A sign of halaka, a ruin, a sign of devastation for a person. And that is why Allah Almighty, He said clearly, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Why is it not that when our punishment came to them, they did not humble themselves, but their hearts became hard? Why did they not humble themselves when the punishment came? Allah gives the answer. May Allah protect us from being this answer. Because their hearts were hard. Look at how travel has come to a complete standstill. Parties have been cancelled. Music industry has been silenced. Cinemas have become just dust-ridden tourist destinations, ghost towns. Presidents and policymakers, people in power, celebrities, all gone into self-isolation. Freedoms suffocated. All of which not only shows the supremacy of Allah as we established, but also shows the bitter consequences of sins when they prevail. Underline that word, prevail. And that is why the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when he was asked a question by his wife, Zainab bint Jahsh, Ya Rasulallah, an ahliku wa fina salihun, Messenger of Allah, is it possible for us to be destroyed whilst there are still righteous people in our midst? He said, Naam, yes, it is possible. Either kathur al-khabath, when evil dominates. Yes, he said, it is possible when evil dominates. So the COVID-19 has uncovered, alhamdulillah, a clear way forward for everyone who cares. A complete overhaul in an attitude towards worship, towards sins, towards business, towards dress code, towards relationships, towards behavior, towards visions in life and a mission for Allah. It has given us a clear way forward, an overhaul with respect to these things. And I say this, my dear brother, my dear sister, if man still is not stirred into change despite these calamities that he is seeing around him or her, then he or she is to realize that the internal calamity that they are suffering is far more serious than the pandemic one. To conclude, on a positive note, on a practical note, here are a few recommendations for yourselves and myself moving forward. Number one, let us intensify our acts of worship. See it as an obligation. Really, prolong your prostration. Prolong your dua to Allah till that tear comes down. Take care of your fasts, my brother. Sister, those days of siyam that you haven't made up in the Ramadan before, make them up. Allow your heart to adore Allah Jalla Jalaluhu more than ever before, and don't be distracted, please. And that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the famous hadith of Muslim on the authority of Ma'qil ibn Yasar, he said, Al-ibadatu fil harji kahijratin ilay. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during times of turmoil brings the same reward as migrating to me. Allahu Akbar. Imam al-Nawawi, he said, that is because during times of turmoil, people are talking, following the news, and they are so busy, and no one is concentrating, no one has his head screwed on. Therefore, if despite these events, you're able to withdraw from time to time and to worship Allah Almighty with devotion, it means you are a special category of people and you qualify yourself for this reward of migrating to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is number one. Take note of it. Yeah, intensifying your acts of worship. Number two, engage in a soul search, my dear brother, my dear sister. Every night, if it's possible, track down those sins, write them down. Those shortcomings of yours. I do the same. Let us isolate them and let us create a plan to overcome them. This exercise that I'm suggesting to you is actually one of the reasons why Allah sends difficult times like ours. Didn't Allah Almighty say, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ Don't they see, Allah said, that they are put to test once or twice a year, but then they don't repent, nor do they think, reflect. So the reason why they are put to test once or twice a year, so that they may repent and think. That is exercise number two, a soul search. Find those sins and let us eradicate them, dear brothers and sisters. Number three, a family search. A family search. Seek to improve your personal well-being and health and prosperity by looking out for your family members. Even if it's just through a phone call or a daily message, please, dear brothers and sisters. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a beautiful promise in this department. He said, إِنَّ أَعْجَلَ الطَّاعَةِ ثَوَابًا صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ حَتَّى إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ لَيَكُونُوا فَاجَرًا فَتَنْمُوا أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَيَكْثُرُ عَدَدُهُمْ إِذَا تَوَاصَلُوا. He said that the reward or the good deed that brings about the quickest reward in life is the good deed of taking care of family ties. He said, in fact, it could be that there is a family who are sinners, but their wealth increases and their numbers increase as a family because they are staying in touch with one another. They are staying in contact. Allahu Akbar. There's actually no less than 15 narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that tell us that taking care of family ties actively extends a person's life. That is number three. Number four, try to aid those who are aiding. Help those who are helping. It would be so good to see an initiative of some sort to create a system. Think about it. Maybe it's you, dear brother, dear sister, who will do this. Where, for example, the shopping requirements of nurses, for example, are arranged for them. Similar to the systems, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that we have for the elderly. Due to the selfish shopping habits of a lot of us at this moment in time, a lot of these nurses are struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling after maybe a 24-hour shift to go to their local grocery store and to find food and to eat healthily because of the selfish way people are buying. There's nothing left on the shelves by the time they're finished, they finish their shifts. And these are the same people who are struggling to be healthy are the people whom you and I will be turning to during our lowest moments and weakest points. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best of all people are those who are most beneficial to others. Maybe that person can be you. Another one of these suggestions could be for the mosques that have decided to close their doors. This requires investigation. I don't know the legalities of it. Maybe to investigate the possibility of offering your space to a nearby hospital who may be struggling for space up until Allah has mercy upon us and we're able to function as a masjid normally again. And Allah allows for relief to arrive. This requires investigation. Number six, give Islamic loans. Brothers and sisters, not all of us have the luxury of working from home. A lot of us will be struggling to make ends meet now. And even if there is a bursary or a grant from the government, people are still struggling. Revive this much neglected act of worship, giving Islamic loans. If you are blessed enough to be able to offer it, make yourself known. And many of our predecessors actually preferred to give an Islamic loan than to even give in charity, subhanAllah. Finally, number seven, settle your scores at once. If there is somebody whom you have wronged, if there is money that you owe, if there is an outstanding dispute, now is the time to settle them. Don't allow the situation to escalate, as many predict will happen with the pandemic, before you settle your scores with your loved ones or your friends or even those whom you do not love. And realize that if you, my brother, my sister, you do not do this and there is still something outstanding, your dispute will automatically be deferred to the Day of Judgment. And that is not a good situation to be in. In conclusion, we are confident, inshallah, that this trial shall pass. It has to pass. Our concern must not be just the passing of the trial. Our concern must be our state that we will be in when the trial eventually passes. Will we be unmoved, unchanged, the same people we were weeks or months ago? Don't wait, my dear brother, my dear sister, for the ideal circumstance to arise to worship Allah and to repent and reform yourself and live by visions. No. Because those ideal circumstances will never come about. Rather, you and I, we have to engineer the circumstances of present to serve our aims of glorifying Allah and entering paradise. As our predecessors, they would say, سيروا إلى الله عرجاً ومكاسير فإن انتظار الصحة بطالة. They would say, travel to Allah with your limbs and with your injuries, because waiting for health to come is a cause for idleness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, don't sit on the sidelines watching the events unfold as if you're watching a film that you have no role to play in. You are involved in this. You are the star of the show. All eyes are on you. So I ask you, my dear brother, my dear sister, to let your awakening be seeded in this trial of ours today. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين. Join us, dear brothers and sisters, next Friday at the same time, 11:30 a.m. for another bayan. والحمد لله رب العالمين.